I want us to open our Bibles this morning in 1 John chapter 3. That's the first epistle of John, and the third chapter, commencing to read at the verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. That's 1 John chapter 3, and commencing to read at verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing as we turn to his word today. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we ask of thee in Jesus' name that thou wilt take of thy word and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt search our hearts out afresh, even as we open thy word and meditate upon it. And we ask of thee, O God, that thou wilt lead us in the path of righteousness. We pray that our God, that our meditation of thee might be sweet, and that our God, that it might be profitable, because thy word is profitable. And O God, we pray that you'll help us. If we need correction, then give us correction. But O God, we pray that if we need guidance, and we do, also give us that guidance. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that that might be a prayer answered this day for the glory of thy precious and thy holy name. Amen and amen. Now, we've been looking at these verses, the opening verses of this chapter here, especially verses 1 to 3. Last occasion, 2 weeks ago, we're looking at verse number 2. We found there the term beloved. And what a loving term and precious term that is for the family of God. Beloved, then we had, it says, beloved, now, there's the time. And speaking about something that is happening, or something that is right now. It's not something we'll have to wait for, but it is something now. Now are we. And there we have the tribe. Now are we. That's the family of God, those who are saved. And John is linking himself to the believers unto whom that he is writing this first letter. Then we notice the title, now are we the sons of God. There's a blessed title that we have, and that we're sons of God, and in other words, we're in the family of God, a part of the family of God, sons and daughters, and brothers and sisters, therefore, in Jesus Christ. And then we had the thought, it says there, it says, we know not, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But then we had the triumph, but we know that when he shall appear, and then we had the transformation, we shall be like him. And then we had a great truth, for we shall see him. We shall see him. And I trust that God's people would be excited about that, that one day we're going to see him. We're going to see the Lord Jesus. And we're going to see him face to face. We're singing a moment ago, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? But I want us to turn this morning to the third verse of this passage of God's Word. And I want us to also to think, first of all, upon the teaching. The teaching, and then the testimony, and then the template. And therefore, let us look at verse number 3, because we have this here before us. Verse number 3, it says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And so therefore, we're coming, first of all, to the teaching here. You see, we've had the doctrine concerning the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ of something. Yes, it has got a deep present meaning, but it also has a future significance. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. But you know, whenever you come to doctrinal truth in the Word of God, there's something that is linked with doctrinal truth, and it's this. Doctrinal truth is always linked with duty. You see, doctrine demands duty. In other words, what you believe, what you say you really believe, the doctrine which you really believe, should motivate and should energize the way that you behave. In other words, the belief and the behavior, the doctrine and the duty go together. In other words, proper creed should bring proper conduct. Now, whenever John talks here about the Lord Jesus appearing, and we're now the sons of God, we don't know yet what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, we shall see him as he is. And John has reminded us of our position, our privileged position. We are children of God, or we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. That's what we are. And then in verse number 2, it is what we shall be. He goes on to elaborate not only what we are, but what we shall be. And he elaborates on the children of God and the blessed hope that there is, that one day not only is Jesus Christ coming again, but we shall be like him. And therefore, that is what we shall be. But then we come to the verse number 3, because that takes us another step. Based upon those great doctrinal truths, then he insists in verse 3 what we should be. What we should be. And that is what verse 3 is about. That's what those who are saved, what you profess, if you're saved this morning, what you and I should be. You see, we became children of God in the past, and we have a blessed hope. Thank God for a future. But you know, all of that motivates us, and motivates us to a holy life in the present. It brings it right into this present time, because what we should be today as the children of God. You see, those who are saved today, those who call themselves believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not live holy lives to prove that they are the sons of God or the children of God. But they live holy lives because they are the children of God. That's the difference. You don't live that holy life to prove that you are a child of God, but you live that holy life because you are a child of God. And that's what the Bible says here in verse number 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And so therefore, in the light of what we are and what we shall be, that leads us to that holy living or that clean life in this day, right now in which we live. In other words, the child of God, the person who's saved, has no desire to live in sin. Because sin is a serious thing. It's a serious thing because, let me tell you, the sinner who is still in his sin and goes out into God's eternity will be punished in hell because of a sin forever. Sin is a serious thing. But sin in the life of a child of God is a serious thing. And friend, let me tell you, God will not let any one of us go unpunished for our sin. Because God has to discipline us if we are living in sin, and yet we profess that we are the children of God. You see, sin is a serious thing. In science, for every effect, there must be adequate cause. Thus, sin committed have their cause in a heart's corruption. When the fountain is foul, then the stream is impure. In other words, sin is the root, and we find sins are the fruit. Sin is the cause, and sins are the effect. You are not a sinner just because that you sin, but you sin because you are a sinner. And friend, you and I need to realize today the seriousness of sin. The Bible talks about trespassing, a deviation, a falling aside from God's requirement. It talks about iniquity, that which is distorted. Hence, that which is wrong, that which is perverse, that which is crooked. It talks about transgression, lawlessness, sin to miss the mark. To miss the mark in the Old Testament, to miss the mark. The mark in the Old Testament is the law of God. And every one of us have been stained by sin. The Word of God says there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there are those this morning, thank God, they've come to Christ and they've received the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us, yea, keeps on cleansing from all sin. And therefore, once we were in sin, but thank God we're saved from sin by the blood and the finished work and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. You see, when a sinner sins, he does so against his Creator. He sins against law, the law of God. But when a child of God sins, he sins against his Father, and he's sinning against love. The God who loves you, the God who loves you, and yet a person who professes the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he walks or she walks in open sin, you are sinning against your heavenly Father. You are defying him. You're sinning against his love. And whom the Lord loveth, the Bible says, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Yes, sin is a serious sin, a serious thing. Now it says in verse number 3, and here's the teaching, it says, every man that hath this hope in him. It's not every man who's a sinner. It says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And the word who hath is to have, to hold, to possess. And the tense there speaks of the individual actively possessing and treasuring this, what is it? This hope in him. Every man that hath this hope in him. Now, let's look at this word, this hope. Every man that hath his hope in him or fixed on him or resting on him. The word hope. You know, the world today, whenever they talk about hope, you ask them something and say, well, I hope so. I hope so, or I'd like it to be. There is no assurance there. There's nothing solid there. There's no confidence there. But whenever we come to the word here talking about this hope, this blessed hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that when he shall appear, we shall be like him and we shall see him as he is. That's the hope that there is in the heart of the child of God. Now, what is this hope in him? The word hope there is a confidence born of faith. When we have faith in God, we claim his promises. And then his promises, in turn, give us a hope, not only for the present, but thank God for the future. That hope that there is spoken of is certain, because God promised it. God promised it. And that's why that we have a certain hope in Christ today and a blessed assurance in Christ, because the God who promised it will never, ever break his promise. He will never break his word. So our hope and our trust and our faith and our confidence is in a faithful God. Thank God that's who he is. He is the faithful one. Our blessed hope, therefore, this blessed hope that is within the breast of the child of God is not a hope so, but is a hope sure. It is a hope sure. It is an exciting expectancy because of our sovereign God who controls all about the future. Holman's Bible Dictionary defines our blessed hope as this: trustful expectation, particularly with reference to the fulfillment of God's promises. Biblical hope is the anticipation of a favorable outcome under God's guidance. The Puritan, Thomas Manton, wrote these words: "What an excellent ground of hope and confidence we have when we reflect upon these three things in prayer: the Father's love, the Son's merit, and the Holy Spirit's power." What a blessed confidence. What an excellent ground of hope and confidence. Isaac Watt wrote these words: "Hope thinks nothing difficult. Despair tells us that difficulty is insurmountable." And friends, so it is if it's only left to ourselves. But praise God when God comes into the story, when God comes into the picture, when God comes into our confidence, thank God, hope thinks nothing difficult. A.W. Tozer, commentator, said this: "Hope is a word which has taken on a new and deeper meaning for us because the Savior took it into his mouth. Hope is the music of the whole Bible. It is the heartbeat and the pulse and the atmosphere of the Bible. It means a desirable expectation and a pleasurable anticipation." Campbell Morgan, he tells the story of a man whose shop had been burnt down in the great Chicago fire. And he tells us that the man arrived on the ruins the very next morning carrying a table. And Morgan said the man sat there in the midst of the ruins. He set the table down in the midst of the ruins. And there on the table, he set up, in the midst of the charred remains of the store, he set up the sign: "Everything lost except wife, children, and hope." And then he wrote this: "Business will be resumed as usual tomorrow morning." Friend, that was a person who was not being overcome by a situation. And sometimes we, as God's people, we're so overcome by our present situation that we lose hope. You know, sadly, hopelessness and hopeless is written in many of the suicide notes that's left behind. That word, hopeless, is left quite often. It was written, "The greatest enemy of man is not disease. It's despair, the absence of hope." My friend, there are people today and they're despairing. Life has so overcome them. I was speaking to a dear brother last night and he was grieving. He and his wife have been married for 62 years. And when I went into that home, that man was sitting there and he was just breaking his heart. Yes, there were family around and there were others around, but he was just sitting there in his chair. And he's crying his heart out. Just crying his wee heart out. And I knelt down just before that man last night and I said, "You know, it's not wrong to grieve. The Word of God says, we sorrow not as others which have no hope, but it doesn't say we sorrow not." And sometimes you see people, whenever they grieve over a passing of a loved one, they feel guilty that I shouldn't be doing this. But let me tell you, the Word of God doesn't say we sorrow not, but it says we sorrow not as others. But what's the difference? It says we sorrow not as others which have no hope. In other words, if Christ is not in the midst of the situation, there is no hope. But thank God that brother was there and he knew that his wife was in the presence of the Savior. He knew that one day he would meet her again. But after 62 years, friend, let me tell you, his heart was breaking. I miss him so much. But oh, let me tell you, there's a difference between a person grieving and being consumed by grief. In other words, that's when grief takes over. And then it becomes despair. You see no light in the valley at all. The Word of God says in the Psalms, "Unto the righteous there ariseth light in the darkness. Thank God there is a blessed light. Thank God there is a blessed hope for those who are in Christ. Now, for those who are not saved, friend, you cannot claim that. You are in a hopeless situation. And if your loved one is in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and you die in your sin, you'll never meet them again. They will be in the glories of heaven, enjoying the bliss of Jesus, and you'll be down in hell regretting that you ever died in your sin and never listened to the claims of the gospel or wouldn't yield your heart to the Christ of the gospel. Spurgeon said, "What must be the misery of souls in hell where they remember the word but never know hope itself?" Hopeless. Written over the trapdoor of hell, friend, the word hopeless. What an awful hopelessness is there in the lost eternity, for the night will never end and the darkness will never disappear and the morning will never come and your pain will never finish. But is the anguish in hell forever and ever and ever. And yet, biblical hope is a desire for some future good with the expectation of obtaining it. It is confident expectancy, the absolute certainty of future good. You see, as believers, our hope is not found or grounded in circumstances. It's not grounded in optimistic desires for a better tomorrow. It is not based on a concept, but it is focused on the living person. It is focused in Christ. And that's why when Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and the verse number 1, he says this, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." We sang this morning, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." The great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon also said, "Oh, what a blessed hope this is, that though we fall asleep, we shall surely wake again. And when we awaken, it will be in the likeness of the great head of the family. And we ourselves shall be heirs of an inheritance in which there will be no sin and no corruption." That inheritance, I love these words. See, when I wrote this, it blessed my soul. Spurgeon said this, "That inheritance is kept for us." And then he said this, "And we are kept for it." I thought it was lovely. That inheritance is kept for us, and we are kept for it, so the doubly keeping makes it doubly sure. And to Spurgeon I say, amen, brother. Amen. My friend, what a wonderful thing to have that blessed hope within your breast. From 1942 to 1945, General Douglas MacArthur served as the commander of the Allied forces in the Pacific. Whenever it became clear in 1942 that the last American foothold in the Philippines would fall to the Japanese, President Roosevelt ordered MacArthur to leave. As he left on March the 11th, MacArthur uttered his famous promise, "I shall return
don't give in. A little Filipino answered, MacArthur, I will not give in. I will fight until you return. See, MacArthur was ordered to leave. But he said, I shall return. Don't give in. General MacArthur kept his promise. And he returned in October 1944. Let me tell you what Jesus said to his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. In other words, I shall return. And receive you unto myself. That where I am, there I shall be also. And friend, whenever he was saying those words, let not your heart be troubled. Yes, I am going, he said, but listen, I will return. Don't give in and don't give up. Courage, brother. Courage, sister, in God's name. The old devil would write across many a situation that you find yourself that all is hopeless. But friend, with God, nothing's hopeless. The Bible tells us, Paul writing to the Ephesians believers in chapter 2, he was speaking about, listen, at that time you were without hope and without God in this world. And if God's not in it, then you are hopeless. If God is not in your life, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not your Savior, my friend, let me tell you, I don't care who the preacher is, he cannot inject hope into your situation because there is nothing but hopelessness before you if you die without Jesus Christ. But thank God for those who are saved, there is a blessed hope. A wonderful expectation. An assured expectation. Because the God who promised is the God who can never fail. So I ask this question this morning. What are you looking for? Because friend, let me tell you, it's the answer to that question. What are you looking for determines what you are living for. What are you living for? Do you remember Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Now that was, friend, the teaching. But here's the testimony. Look at verse 3 again, very quickly. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Now notice, John does not say everyone ought to purify himself, but he clearly states, every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself. That is what a believer does. It's the ongoing practice of purification. Indeed, there is, in those words, a stringent test of what or who we really are. Because notice what it says, listen, every man, not some, but every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. You see, it describes a process and a progress in our walk with God, that ongoing practice of purification. See, when God saved us, friend, he saved us with a purpose. Just turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And Ephesians chapter 1, it says there in verse number 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now notice the purpose. That we should be holy. and without blame before him. In love. Many people love to talk about the doctrine of predestination. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that doctrine at all, but it's there in the book. And if you want to read the book, you've got to read it there. But friend, let me tell you, they maybe leave out the import here. According as he has chosen us and him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. There's the purpose. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ did not die simply to save us from hell. Although, thank God, he did die to save us from hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ did not simply die to save us from hell and to take us to heaven, although, thank God, he will take us to heaven. But in that death of Jesus Christ and that sacrifice of Christ, there is a present purpose before we get to heaven. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Friend, this is speaking about purifying yourself. This is speaking about holiness of life. And in Titus chapter 2, look down there in verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And so we find the purpose there. Not only to redeem us from all iniquity, but to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And the Holy Spirit is given to create us anew unto good works. The word purifieth means freedom from defilement or impurities. It means a withdrawal from that which disqualifies us from acceptable worship. And of course, we have the example of Christian holiness. It's Christ. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "Be ye holy, even as I am holy." So therefore, our blessed hope within us prompts us to this purification. It gives energy to our endeavors. Because the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, holiness is not something we are called upon to do in order that we may become something. It is something we do because of what we already are. And we live a holy life because we are the children of God. We have this blessed hope within us. You see, our privileged position in Christ and the promises that Christ has given to us as God's people makes a demand upon our lives, friend. Oh, you know, we read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I think we should read it more often. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we used to read it, you know, in all of our meetings, whenever we had missions at the end of it, the challenge of separation from apostasy was in it, and it says in verse 14, chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. But read on to the next verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, we're not only separated from, but we're separated unto the Lord. Very quickly, Romans chapter 14. And brethren and sisters, I want you to read these verses and study them yourself. Take the time, because Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. It says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, we're to cast off the works of darkness. We're to lay aside. We're to throw them off like dirty, filthy, smelly clothes, the deeds of darkness. We're to put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk honestly. In other words, let us behave properly as in the day. You see, doctrine brings duty. It brings duty. You see, there's a change. Verse 40. But not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering, not in wantonness, not in strife, not in envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ holiness. Thomas Watson said, it is vain to speak of hopes of salvation and have the marks of damnation. You see, friend, it's not enough to talk right. It's walk right. It's walk right. And that brings us to the template. It says, whosoever hath this, or every man that hath this hope in him, going back to 1 John chapter 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And Peter alludes to Christ's pattern of purity in 1 Peter chapter 2, 21. Paul writing there concerning Christ in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 26, 27. And John emphasizes the importance of a walk that corresponds to the talk. 1 John chapter 2, in verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now, I want you to notice just one wee thing, because quite often that's read wrong. Verse 3 of 1 John chapter 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Who's the him? Every man that hath this hope in him. That's not speaking about every man that has the hope in himself. Every man that hath his hope in Christ, the hymns Christ, Because outside of Christ, there is no hope. And if you have that hope in Christ, friend, then you will seek and endeavor to have that process and that progress in dying more and more unto sin and living more and more unto righteousness. It says, purify themselves even as he, that is Christ, is pure. Now notice it doesn't say, even as Christ purified himself. No. Even as Christ is pure. We haven't time to go into it. But that speaks to us of the sinlessness, the freedom from defilement, from all impurity, the sinless, spotless Son of God. John Owens said, let man not deceive themselves. Sanctification is a qualification indispensably necessary unto those who will be under the conduct of the Lord Jesus unto salvation. He leads none to heaven but those whom he sanctifies on earth. This living head will not admit dead members. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, holiness is not so much something we receive as a gift. It is rather something we work out. Some people get the idea that holiness is something that comes to them, perhaps in a meeting or a convention. In other words, you suddenly get it. You went into the meeting without it, and then suddenly you got it. Friend, that's not so. Every man that hath his hope in Christ purifieth himself. Have you a desire today to walk a holy life? Remember, it's not a suggestion. Be ye holy, even as I, the Lord, am holy. It's a command. Every man that hath his hope in Christ will shun sin. Avoid it and seek to live a life of holiness unto the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word today. I pray that you'll help each one of us that profess thy name today to realize that we do have a blessed hope in Christ. What an expectancy, what a glorious expectancy, what a confident expectancy because of the promise that thou hast given. But, oh God, help us as we walk this world to live as we ought to walk, to die more and more unto sin, to live more and more unto righteousness, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All that I ask is to be like him. Oh God, help us to be overcomers over sin. Help us to walk the pathway of holiness to please thee. In Jesus' name.